Amen. I'm thankful that he's blessed me a whole lot more than I deserve. Amen. Verse in that song says, walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. Walking in this old world, I have a lot of regrets before I was saved. I'm thankful I don't have any regrets walking with Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say that. He's been good to me. Whole lot better than I deserve. Luke chapter number 23. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, Luke chapter number 23. Say it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Always a joy and an honor to get to stand here at Pleasant Grove, be with you people. And let me say what a blessing it was yesterday to pack the shoeboxes and pack the boxes. For the children, and what a joy that was, and a blessing that was, and let's just pray that those will be a blessing to those children. Pray those tracks that go out with them, somebody somewhere that receives those, somebody will come to know Christ through those, and be a blessing to them. Do continue to pray for Brother Brady as he travels, and this week as he's in India. I know it's not an easy thing to be away from your family and your home and in a foreign country and third world country. I still say that if each and every American would go to a third world country, there'd be a whole lot less complaining about America the day and hour we live in. We're blessed here in America. I remember standing in Cambodia in the dump, the landfill there, so to speak, remembering watching children pick up coconuts out of the trash and bust them over the back of a dump truck trying to find food. And I remember standing there looking at that, and my complaints and what I have wrong with me here in America will never be like that. Lord's blessed me. Lord's blessed us here in America, and I'm thankful for it. We ought to be thankful for what God's given us, and He's been so good to us. And may get to preach here in a minute, but he's blessed us a whole lot more than we deserve. We sit here in an air-conditioned building, heated building this morning, padded pews, shoes on our feet. Be honest with you, I'm not bragging on Luke Watson, I'm bragging on Jesus, but the clothes I've got on my back this morning be a whole lot worth a whole lot more than a lot of people in third world countries will ever live off of. I remember a boy there in Cambodia. He wasn't but about 12 years old, and at the time for a 12-year-old, he was very, very small because he was impoverished. And he was out there shifting through plastic bottles in that dump, and he was picking them up, and he was making a penny a day. I remember we got the report when we got back home, and we got a call from the missionary we'd been there with. That boy had got run over by a D8 dozer in the dumpster. I remember thinking how blessed I am. I won't ever have to face anything like that here in America, Lord willing. We don't know what's to come tomorrow, but right now we all thank God for our blessings. We know we're... Most of us know where our children are at. Most of us have a home to go to with a roof over our heads. Most of us showed up in really nice vehicles this morning. We've got it good here in America, and I'm thankful for it. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter number 23, and I'd like to invite you to stand when you found your place out of the reverence of the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 23, verse number 32 is where we're going to begin reading. If you know your Bibles this morning, you know we're going to be looking and dealing with the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the help of the Lord, I'm going to look at that this morning and try to help you. I would like to say this. They sang that song earlier. Lord touched me. He touched me. I remember... Lord put me under conviction and drawed me through that song. I remember we were singing that in the church I was at, and I couldn't go back, and I couldn't think in my mind of the day that Jesus Christ saved me. If you don't have a time and a place and a day you can go back to, you may not know the exact date, you may not know the exact day, you may not know the exact time, but if there isn't a place in your life where you can say, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and He eternally made a change in my life, I pray you find that time and place this morning. Luke chapter number 23, verse number 32, the Bible says, and they were also two other malefactors led up with Him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Verse number 46, And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before You as humble as know how this morning. And Lord, we just want to thank You, Lord, for another day and another opportunity to come to Your house this morning. And Lord, we want to thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. Lord, as we've already been reminded this morning, You've blessed us more than we ever deserve. Lord, You've blessed us so good this morning. We just want to praise You and thank You for it. And Lord, I pray You'd help us not forget how well You've blessed us this morning. And Lord, we want to thank You most of all for Jesus Christ laying down His life for us on Calvary. Lord, we're thankful. Lord, You sent Your only begotten Son. Lord, we're thankful for the blood that was shed on Calvary. And Lord, we pray this morning, as we try to expound upon it this morning, God, You just help us, Lord. You just touch us and fill us from on high, dear God. Lord, we need Your help this morning. We need Your touch. Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do here for this morning. I pray, God, You'd work in amongst the people, Lord. Those of us that are saved, Lord, I pray You just remind us of what took place on Calvary and remind us of what You did for us there. And God, I pray for those that are lost here this morning, God, I pray You just draw them. Lord, just convict them, Lord. Show them their need for salvation. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do for us. And in Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank You for standing out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. So we come to our text here this morning. We know all that's taken place already. We know that Jesus Christ has been to Pilate's hall. We know they've beaten Him and they've mocked Him. And Pilate's told them, he says, I find no fault in this man. But they've cried out and said, we'd rather have Barabbas. We want to see this man Jesus crucified. And so as we come to our text this morning, that Jesus has already carried His cross, Simon helping Him there, and we know that He's already made a few statements as He's come up to Calvary. But as we come to our text this morning and where I want to dwell and deal with here in verse number 33, I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 33. The Bible says, And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. I want to preach for a few moments this morning on when you come to this place, which is called Calvary. You find in the Word of God, you'll find in Matthew and in Mark and in the Gospel of John, you'll find that the place Calvary is called Golgotha, or the place of the skull. Many people say different things about why it's called Golgotha, why it's called the place of the skull, why it's called Calvary, but we know nonetheless, regardless of the reasons, we know this place called Calvary is a place outside of the Jerusalem here, where the Romans took people to crucify them and to put them to death. This is where they took people to pay for the wrong that they had done. The malefactors with Jesus this day were no doubt robbers and thieves. No doubt on Calvary there were many murderers and many thieves and many wrongdoers had already died at this place called Calvary. But on this day, in our text this morning, this day, a different man has gone up to die at this place called Calvary. Let me say this, this place called Calvary is a place where sins were paid for. Before Jesus ever stepped foot on Calvary, people had already been paying for their wrongdoing on Calvary by giving up their life for it. But this morning, this day, Jesus Christ is being taken up to pay for all of man's sin on this place called Calvary. This was a place outside of Jerusalem where sin was paid for. This place called Calvary. I want to give you a few things this morning on this place called Calvary and what you'll find at this place called Calvary, and we'll be done. I know and realize time changed last night. We're an hour behind. Half of you, your stomach's already growling, and I'll try to make this as quick as possible. But I want you to pay attention. I'll try to help you this morning, just remind you of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. I want you to notice a few things about what you'll find on this place called Calvary. Number one, you'll find the crucified Christ. You'll find the crucified Christ. This place called Calvary, no doubt, is where they crucified Jesus. This is where they crucified the Son of God. And I want you to notice about the crucified Christ. I want you to notice who He was. A lot of times we read the Bible story about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and we forget about exactly who all Jesus was as He walked on this earth. This is Emmanuel being crucified, God with us. Jesus, He was the Son of God. He is the one that God sent down to live among us. He is the great physician, the one that healed so many. He is the one that raised people from the grave. He is the great I Am. He is the bread of life. He is that drink of water if you drink of. He is that well if you drink of, you'll never thirst again. He is the one that can calm the raging seas. He is the one that can speak and the winds lay down. This is the Son of God. This isn't just any man being crucified here in the text. This is the Son of God. We have to understand that. This is the only man that's ever put on a robe of flesh and walked on this earth and never sinned. This is the great shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He was there in the beginning, and He'll be there when it's all said and done and all wrapped up. He was there when God spoke this thing into existence. They spoke it into existence together. He was there from the beginning, and He'll be there in the end. He is the great high priest, willing to make intercession. Oh, He's so many things. He is the Son of God come down to die for you and me. The man Christ hanging there on Calvary. But I don't want you to see the man Christ, but I want you to see the malice they had towards this man Christ. Look with me in our text. You'll find in verse number 39 that the people and the rulers, the rabble and the rulers, cried out against Him. Bible says in verse number 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be a Christ, the chosen of God. I want you to notice also the Romans mocked him and made fun of him and had malice towards him. Verse number 36, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Malice towards him. See the rabble, the rulers, the Romans, but we also see the robbers had malice towards him. In verse number 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now, as I've already said, this man's never done any wrong. Sinless God before them right here. He's never sinned. He's never done no wrong, yet they had malice towards him. They've watched Jesus raise people from the dead. They've watched Jesus feed thousands with just a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. They've watched Jesus touch the blinded and they could see. They've watched Jesus take a man that they couldn't do anything with and just speak to him and cast demons out of him. I mean, you think about all the miracles they saw Jesus do. And yet they had malice towards him. They hated him. And as he hung here on Calvary, they mocked him. Oh, how sad. We looking at this, how sad it is for them to have such malice towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you think about in the day and hour we live in, how many people have malice towards Christ, even though they've seen Him do great things. I know people in my life, they've seen people change. They've seen God take somebody and turn their life around. They've seen God heal their sick loved ones. They've seen so many things, so many miracles take place at the hands of Jesus Christ. And yet they still hate Him. Yet they still have malice towards them. Yet they don't want anything to do with Jesus. How could it be? Let me say this, the psalmist over there in Psalms 22, he prophesied about this. Psalms 22 and verse number 6 says, but I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men and despised of people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. Seeing he delighted in him, they hated him without a cause. They had malice towards Christ, this man, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega. They had malice towards him. But I want you to see the mercy Christ showed towards them. We'll get into his mercy a little deeper later, but I want you to notice the mercy he showed towards the ones that crucified him. Verse number 34, the Bible says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want you to think about that this morning. I mean, let's put it in perspective. I'm a man of the flesh. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I try to live as godly of a life as I can, but I promise you, if somebody starts spitting on me and beating me, somebody lays me on a cross and nails my hands to it, I'm not going to be nice and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It would be hard for me, and it'd be hard for you. I mean, you think about what they've done to Jesus. I want you to understand, they've already beat him to the point where you can't recognize him. They've beat him so badly that they've ripped the flesh off of him and you can see the bones inside of him. I mean, they've already spit upon him. They've already taken him and stripped him of his garments and put a purple robe upon him to mock him. When he was thirsty, they gave him vinegar to drink. They've taken this man Jesus and they plaited a crown of thorns upon his head, and then they made him carry an old rugged cross up Calvary. And here on Calvary, I mean, they nailed his hands to the cross, and they've nailed his feet to the cross, not with some small 16-penny nail, but they've taken spikes, and they've driven it through his hands, and they've not only done that, they've taken him, and they've set this cross up, and as they did that, splinters went into his back, no doubt, and he's in great pain. praying at this moment, but he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As they mocked him, as they spit upon him, as they've cried out against him and beat him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What mercy he showed towards those that had malice towards him. Oh, what a Savior. I'll get into this here in a little bit, but that was our sins that was keeping him on that cross. That was our punishment he was taking. What mercy he's showing as people are crying out, hating him and mocking him, being able to cry out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We see the crucified Christ. But I want you to notice the contradiction endured. Verse number 41, I want you to notice what the malefactor there said. Bible says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man Jesus, hath done nothing amiss. Hebrews 12:3, the Bible says, for consider him, talking about Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Contradiction endured. As I've already said, this is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, put on a robe of flesh, left all of glory, came and he's walked on this earth, sinless, perfect, without spot, without blemish. And yet he's dying on a cross. Yet he's here on Calvary where sins are paid for, dying for you and I. Sinless God dying for sinful man. Oh, what a contradiction. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 John 3:5, the Bible says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. I couldn't help but think, as I was thinking about this week and preparing to preach on this week, I couldn't help but think about this contradiction endured. We see the story in the Bible about how Barabbas should have been the one hanging on this cross, and yet Barabbas has been forgiven. But in all honesty, it should have been you and I on that cross. It should have been you and I paying this sin. Here on Calvary, here's sinless, the Son of God, sinless and perfect, and the wrath of God is being poured out on the Son of God for you and I. Over there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said he'd drink that bitter cup, saying he'd take my sin and your sin, and he'd die on that cross for you and I. I couldn't help but think, should have been a day I stood before God. And the guilty verdict came down. Just as in this day, when the guilty verdict was to come down, you were to pay for your wrongdoing. How many times have we seen, we saw in a courtroom not too long ago, a woman receiving the guilty verdict for death. For killing somebody. And that person who got killed by this woman, his brother stood up and said, I forgive you for what you've done. And how great that is, but the fact of the matter is, that woman's still going to have to serve her time for murder. Well, but there was a day, Brother Adam, where I had the guilty verdict on my life. I can't deny it. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. My righteousness is as filthy rags. There was no righteousness in me. I am guilty. Don't get me wrong. When the guilty verdict came down on my life, it was rightfully so. Oh, but glory be to God, Jesus Christ stood up somewhere and said, I forgive you for what you've done. And not only do I forgive you, I'm going to serve your punishment. I'm going to die for you. I don't deserve it, but I'm going to go take your place. I'm going to die on that cross. I'm going to face death. I'm going to face hell for you. You understand, He did that for us. He went and defeated hell so you and I wouldn't have to face it. Oh, what contradiction endured. He took our guilty sentence and He said, I'll die for you. I'll forgive you and I'll die for you. I'll take your wrath. The wrath of God that should have came down on me came down on Jesus Christ here on Calvary. What a contradiction endured. He became sin for you and I. Oh, do we see that contradiction? We see the crucified Christ. We see that contradiction in dirt. But lastly, we see a choice to be made. Look with me in verse number 39 of our text this morning, and I'm about done, I promise. The Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Let me stop right there. I get hung up on this every time. How many of you guys remember that day when you got saved? That day when you recognized Him as Lord? How many of you remember when you saw yourself as a sinner? You saw what you had done, but you made your way somewhere and you got down on your hands and knees and you cried out and said, Lord. He is Lord. And when you recognize He's Lord, that's when He can start to work on you. That's when He can start to do something in your life. Oh, Lord, this man here hanging beside Him said, and he said to him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We see a choice that has to be made. Let me say this. Jesus is on the cross, one on His left hand and one on His right hand. There's two malefactors there. These men are great sinners. I mean, I don't know all that they've done. I know the Bible tells us that they're robbers. They're thieves. Some suggest that they were murderers. The Bible suggests that. We don't know what all they've done, but we know they are sinners. And we know their sin was so great that the Roman government has sent them out here to Calvary to face the most horrible death you could ever face and die for their sin. But nonetheless, Jesus still loved them as much as He loves you and I. Let me say this before I get into the choice that has to be made. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. It doesn't matter what your sin is or how great it is or how small you think it is. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And He loved us enough to die for us, take our place, just as He loved these malefactors enough to save them and pay for their sin on the cross. This choice that has to be made. We see two choices that are made out of these malefactors. We see the choice of one to rail on Him and mock Him. Now both of these malefactors have seen the agony that this man Jesus has gone through. Both of these malefactors have seen how much pain and how much suffering Jesus has gone through. They've both seen Him, even though He's gone through this, say nothing wrong, do nothing wrong. They've even both seen Him cry out saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They can both see the superscription written above His head that says, the King of the Jews. They've both heard everybody cry out saying, if this man can save others, let him save himself. I don't know how much background either one of these have on Jesus Christ, but from what they've already seen and what they've heard, they know this man Jesus is somebody different. He's somebody special. And there's a choice to be made here. Let me give you the choice of the one that mocked him first. Verse number 35, the Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." He cried out and said, "If you're really the Son of God, if you're really this man they've talked about, if you're really this man they've prophesied about, why don't you just save yourself off this cross and save us while you're at it?" Fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He didn't have to face this awful torment. But because He faced this awful torment, He saved us from ever facing it. He saved you and I from ever going through that torment. He saved you and I from ever going through the wrath of God. But one decided to mock Him. He was looking for fleshly things. He was looking for things to satisfy his flesh. He said, "Why don't you save yourself from the cross and save me while you're at it?" What he's saying is he's not asking for forgiveness, but he's mocking Jesus and saying, "If you can do it, why don't you get me off this cross so I don't have to face this pain anymore?" He was looking for fleshly satisfaction. So many people in this day and hour are looking for fleshly satisfaction. They're wanting to use God, they're wanting to use Jesus for a way to gain self-worth or self-satisfaction, fleshly gain. "I believe in what you've done, Jesus, if you'll just do this for me." Don't get quiet on me now. People use Jesus as almost a spare tire. They really don't want Him in their life. They really don't want anything to do with Him. Really, they're just mocking Him. But if He can do them some good, why not? This man, he didn't truly believe. This robber didn't truly believe in what Jesus was doing for him on this cross. He didn't truly see Him as Lord. He didn't truly see Him as the King of Kings. But he said, "If you can, why not?" He mocked Him and he made fun of Him. Now let me say this. That man, as he closed his eyes in death, he's gone through that same crucifixion that Jesus Christ has gone through here. We have to understand that that was the most painful way, the most torturous way that man has ever thought of to kill another man. So much pain, so much agony. Outside of crucifying somebody, I don't know of many other ways you could put somebody in that much pain and that much agony on this earth. Awful way to die. And this malefactor, he's hung there beside Jesus. He's used his last breaths to mock Jesus. And he's been in great pain, suffocating to death on the cross. But as he closes his eyes, the torment he felt on Calvary, the torment he felt on that cross was nothing compared to the torment he faced when he opened his eyes in a place called hell. When he opened his eyes in torment, no doubt he cried out and said, "Oh, I wish I could go back to the pain on Calvary. If I just had one more chance around Gee." You got to think about this. This man saw the blood that was being shed that could save him from his sins. This man saw Jesus cry out and say, "Father, forgive him, forgive them." And he could have just accepted what Jesus was doing and he'd woke up in paradise. He'd woke up in heaven, but this man woke up in torment. What's the Bible say about hell? The Bible says it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not.
It's a place of outer darkness, is what the Bible says. The Bible says when that rich man over there lifted up his eyes, he lifted them up in torment, crying out for a beggar to come down and dip his finger in water and place it on the tip of his tongue just so he could have a little relief. Let me say this. Hell's not a wonderful place. It's a place of torment. It's a place of torture. It's a place of damnation. It's a place of separation. Outer darkness. There won't be any partying in hell. The way the Bible talks about it, it talks about that outer darkness. It talks about it as a place where you won't be able to see anybody else. You won't be able to see what's going on. It'll just be darkness all around you, but you'll be able to feel yourself burning, and yet you won't be consumed. You'll just be in torment and separated from your loved ones, separated from every pleasure you've ever had, and most importantly, you'll be separated from the mercy and the grace of God. Even if you're lost and don't know the grace of God on this side of eternity, you still know what it's like to have the grace of God on you because you're still alive. You're still breathing. That's grace. That's mercy. If you're not saved by the grace of God, if you're lost in your sin, that's what you deserved this morning. That's what I deserved before I got saved. That's what I still deserve, but the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a place of torment. And the fact of the matter is, this man, he had every opportunity to say, Father, say, Lord, save me. And yet he decided to mock him. He decided to join in with the people. He decided to join in with the religious rulers. He decided to join in with the Romans and mock Jesus Christ. Let me say this. This world right now is mocking this man Jesus. There's so many people all around mocking what Jesus Christ did. They're mocking His Word. They're mocking what He did for them on Calvary. They're mocking His people that believe in the bloodshed of Calvary to save them from their sins. And this morning you can join in with them. It's an option. It's one of the choices that can be made. But I warn you, when you close your eyes in death, it doesn't matter what you've faced on this earth, whatever torment you've gone through, there's not a torment like that place called hell. And when this malefactor here that mocked Jesus, when he woke up, he lifted up his eyes, he lifted them up in torments. No doubt he could remember seeing Jesus on the cross saying, if I just accepted Him, if I just accepted Him. The choice to be made. One choice was to mock Him. But I want you to notice the one that chose to receive mercy. But the other, verse number 40 of chapter number 23, but the other answering rebuked Him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing they are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, and this man hath done nothing amiss. Verse number 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I couldn't help but think of, when I was reading this, think of Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You see what Jesus did for this man here on Calvary. He took him and He brought him from death unto life. He brought him from sin and He saved him. He washed him in His blood. He made him a perfect being in the eyes of God through the redemption power of Jesus Christ, and He established where He was going. You see, the fact of the matter is, this man, he is a great sinner, as I've already said. Both of them were. Just like you and I, we're both great sinners, but ain't you glad it doesn't matter where you've been? what you've done, who you are. It doesn't matter what your sin is. God can take a murderer. He can take a drunkard. He can take a harlot or a whoremonger. He can take a robber. He can take whoever it might be, and He can wash them in His blood and make them perfect in the eyes of God. Not because of what they've done, but because of what He's done. I don't deserve what Jesus Christ has done for me. I don't deserve His mercy. I don't deserve His grace. But because there was a day in my life at the left side of an altar at Vanderpool Baptist Church, I cried out and said, "Lord, would you save me?" Oh, He saved me. He washed me in His blood. And I don't have to worry about facing hell because of what He's done for me. Because of that mercy. As I've already said, I was guilty. I deserved the penalty that was coming my way. But He stepped in and He said, "I'll take your place. I'll pay your debt. I'll pay your punishment for what you've done." This one that received mercy, the one that didn't mock Him, the one that would be with Him in paradise, I want you to understand this. He still paid for his sin. What He did on this earth. He was dying on the cross for it. But as I've already mentioned, what He was dying for on that cross and the pain He was feeling there would have been nothing compared to what was coming when He closed His eyes if He didn't know Jesus. That torment would have been... Oh, but thank God, God saved him from that torment that was to come. You see, the fact of the matter is, Jesus doesn't want to see one of us die and go to hell. Hell wasn't made for you and me this morning. It was made for the devil and his angels, what the Bible tells us. But if you reject that free gift, if you mock what He's done for you, if you reject what He's done for you, there will be hell to face. Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 3, we all know the Scripture very well. It's not verse number 3, verse number 13. The Bible says, For whosoever, let me back up here and give you something real quick. Try to help you out. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." I want you to notice this word in verse number 15 of Revelation chapter number 20. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now let's go back to Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever..." That same word. That say whosoever. That doesn't mean just a select few, and I don't have time to rub that rabbit, but what that means, whosoever. It's the same whosoever rejects Him. Whosoever's name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life is cast into the lake of fire. That same whosoever, meaning whoever, meaning anybody, everybody that's ever breathed the breath of life on this earth. If you're breathing this morning, you're a whosoever. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." What's it say? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hey, that means a robber dying on a cross, about to take his last breath. He's a whosoever. And if he'll call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. And he was. And that's a promise from the Word of God there in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13. That whosoever, it's a promise from God. It's a promise we can rely on. And God ain't broke a promise He made yet. And guess what? He never will. And that same thing's going, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you lost person here this morning. You're a whosoever. Ain't you glad you're a whosoever?
Amen.
Whosoever. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All you got to do is call upon Him, and He'll save you. I'll give you one more verse, and I'll be done. Romans chapter number 5. I want you to go over here and flip with me. Romans chapter number 5. My favorite verse in the Bible. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." This malefactor here, he didn't have strength to get himself off that cross. He didn't have strength to go with Jesus in the paradise. He didn't have strength to save himself. Oh, but he was dying beside the one that did have the strength to. He was dying beside the one that had gave the strength to save him from his sins. While we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse number 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preaventure for a good man some would even dare to die." This goes back to the fact not many people are willing to take the place of a murderer and say, "I'll take your punishment." Not many people are willing to take the place of a robber. You don't hear the gavel slapped down in court many times and somebody get the guilty sentence, and yet somebody back in the stand somewhere stand up and say, "Judge, I'll take his punishment. I'll serve his time. I'll give my life up so he don't have to give his up." Not many people would do that. But verse number 8 of Romans chapter number 5, "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Aren't you glad you can stand this morning and say, "I've been redeemed. He's taken my place. I didn't deserve it. He took my place on Calvary, and now I'm justified by His blood." When you come to this place called Calvary, you're going to see a crucified Christ. You're going to see that contradiction He endured. But there's going to be a choice that has to be made. I'll ask you this morning, are you going to choose to mock it and make fun of Him? Are you going to choose to rail on Him and mock Him? Or are you going to choose to receive mercy? While you were yet a sinner, while I was yet a sinner. 1 John over there. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, verse number 1, the Bible says, "My little children, these things are unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins." I'm glad He's my propitiation. I'm glad He's my atonement. That word propitiation, I'm getting too far ahead. That word propitiation, it means, you go back and you study that propitiation, it literally means a covering for the mercy seat. When the blood of lambs couldn't do it anymore, the perfect Lamb of God. As John said over there, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Propitiation for my sin, excuse me, propitiation for our sins, not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. As the pianist is coming forward, Brother Scott, he's coming to get a song of invitation. I'll leave you with this morning. When you're confronted with that place called Calvary, you have a choice to make. You can choose to mock Him and make fun of it, or you can choose to receive mercy. The fact still stands, whatever choice you make, the fact still stands, you're guilty. The fact still stands, you're a sinner. But the man on the cross, the man that cried out for mercy. The one beside him paid his sin debt for him. He got to open up his eyes in paradise. Unlike the one that mocked him, opened up his eyes in torment. As you stand this morning, Father, we come before you as humble as no how. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for what you did for us on Calvary. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, save us from our sins. Lord, we're thankful for that blood that was shed. And Lord, I just ask you, Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know what it's like to have received mercy, to call out and call you Lord, I pray, God, you just draw them, Lord. I pray, God, we know you'll save them. Lord, we know they're whosoever. I pray, God, they just come and call upon your name this morning. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As they sing this morning.